Yeah, I just want to pray for Pastor Shannon. Gets ready for the message. Come, Holy Spirit, be our teacher today and guide our pastor as she shares this message with us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right. Well, I have to honestly say that I love Holy Spirit, and I love how, you know what I forgot to get, Liz, is the clicker. Sorry about that, folks. But I say this, I love the fact, Krista, how much conversation did we have this week about what you were going to put in the worship songs this morning?
Zero.
Last minute. Rod, how much did we talk about the word you... Not? Lorinda, did we talk at all about... No. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to people with the same thing, because... Anyhow, I'm just going to... Before I put the slide up, that's where we're going this morning. Now, why do we preach and teach and do all of this stuff? Because we want you. I want you to have a firm foundation for what you believe in and what you profess. To know why you believe what you believe and not just say, well, I believe. We saying, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe. We do. But what does that mean? What does that look like? Why do I believe in Jesus? You know, if somebody asks you, well, why do you believe in Jesus? Sometimes what we do is we give our personal testimony, our story. We talk about the experiences and how our lives have been changed and transformed. And that's beautiful and good. And we want to keep doing that. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But we want to be able to always give an answer for what we believe in. And sometimes we can have trouble answering that question. For instance, here's one. Well, we'll just start here. This is what we're talking on. Holy Spirit, again, looked way different on my... Part one. So what you need to know, if there's a part one, that means there's part two, and we're not going to make that today. And just for your information, I'm going to be on holidays the next 2 weeks. So next Sunday, Ted is going to be taking the pulpit, and the following Sunday, Jeanette will be taking the pulpit, and then after that, we'll go to part two, all right? And there might be a three, and even a, well, there will be a three, and maybe even a four. So again, Holy Spirit, here's the question. Who is he? If someone came and asked you, well, you believe in the Holy Spirit, but who is he? What do you mean? And it's interesting, what is the Holy Spirit? Or who is it? You know, what do you know? And so for some of us, it may seem really basic, but I hope in some of this morning, Holy Spirit will challenge some of the things that we have been believing and perhaps move them into a better place. I'm going to just put it that way. Give you a firmer foundation in it. So the number one thing about that question is, who is the Holy Spirit? First of all, the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. Have you ever stopped to really recognize that the Holy Spirit is God? Now, let me ask you this. Is our Heavenly Father God? Yes. Is Jesus, his Son, God?
Yes.
And is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Though he is distinct from the Father and he is distinct from the Son, he is still God. And Jesus said this, in this we can... get the idea. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of something, a thing called the Holy Spirit. Is that what he's saying?
No,
he's talking about Holy Spirit, who is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, again, is distinct from the Father. He's a part of the Trinity, but he is not the Father. And he is a part of the Trinity, but he is not the Son. He's part of the three-part. Like, now, the Trinity is such a hard thing to explain. How can they be one and be three? So you may have heard things like, well, it's like an egg. You have the shell, you have the white, and you have the yolk. Or you may have heard it, well, it's like water, because you have the fluid liquid, and you have it when it's frozen, it's solid, and when you heat it, it turns into a gas. We could even say, well, it's like us. We have a body and a spirit and a soul. And you know what? We were created in the image of God, so yeah. But here's the thing. All of these attempts to understand really fall short of who he is. Like, we see through a glass darkly or dimly, right? What we have is incomplete and a little obscure, and our understanding is imperfect of this reality of the Trinity of God, the Godhead. And we think of the three of them. They're in union. These three persons are in union as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. And I'm sorry, sometimes it's really hard with the noggin to grasp a hold, because we're talking about something eternal and we live in the temporal. And we can't see. There are things that are so glorious and marvelous and beyond our understanding, but our spirit is in agreement with it. We see right from the beginning God the Father and the Holy Spirit in creation, and then we see where it says, let us. There's a three component to this. Let us make man. Right from the beginning of time, but God always was. Holy Spirit was never created. He always was, just like the Father was and the Son. Now, how many of you have ever said, boy, I would have loved to walk with Jesus on earth? Loved to have been one of those disciples right there by his side, just seeing all that happened and being a part and listening to his teaching and just, oh my goodness. But you know what? We may have to adjust our thinking a little bit with this coming up. Maybe not. Maybe you're ahead of me. Jesus said this, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay, we're just going to hold on there. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So he's talking about something coming our way. And if you read the King James Version, you're going to get the word comforter, which is true. But you go to the Strong's Concordance, and it's the word advocate. The one who pleads another's case with one, an intercessor. And listen to what it says in a part of the description. Of the Holy Spirit, destined to take the place of Christ with the apostles after his ascension to the Father, to lead them to a deeper knowledge of the gospel of truth, give them divine, you know what, I should put this up here, I think it's there. Give them divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials, persecution on behalf of the divine kingdom. So I talked about how many of us would want to walk with Jesus. And Jesus, I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send in my name, send, if I can put it in this not quite accurate, a replacement for Jesus. Not really a replacement, but you get what I'm saying. He's going there, and the Spirit is coming to walk with us, to talk with us, to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, and to empower us. And if you want to think of it this way, Jesus said, unless I go to the Father, the Holy Spirit won't come, and it is better for him to come. How many people got to walk with Jesus back then? Well, we could say 12 or 72, or we could say there was hundreds, or we could say there was thousands. But did everybody in the world get to? Look what we can with the Holy Spirit. And what I'm thinking is sometimes we get focused on wanting to be with Jesus, and he's got his Holy Spirit right here and said, look, I'm right here with you. Now, it doesn't mean we ignore the Father, it doesn't mean we ignore the Son, but it says, and I think Krista said, We have to pay attention. We have to be aware of his presence with us, right? So I mean, I love when the Holy Spirit is working in the body with. So, again, how do you feel about the idea of Holy Spirit being with you like Jesus? Sometimes what happens, and I'm not talking to everybody, and I'm not even talking necessarily to this church, but maybe, we minimize the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, we give him recognition that he exists, but he's really become more like, I'm going to say, a fourth cousin four times removed at a family reunion. You know about him, you've heard about him, and you kind of see him standing over there in the corner, and maybe you've said a few things to him, but you really don't know him. And he's delegated back to a corner at the family reunion. And I'm talking about the church. Where is Holy Spirit in our sense of recognition? Have we relegated him back to a corner? Because we really don't know him very well. Now, let's move on. The Holy Spirit is divine. Is the Father divine? Yes. Is Jesus divine?
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit is
divine.
And sometimes we have this idea that the Holy Spirit is a little bit lesser than. God's first, then there's the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit, because he's third in the list. That's kind of our linear way of thinking of things. But they are one. And in his divine, it says, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The same divinity of God the Father, God the Son, is in Holy Spirit. Now, not too long ago, we went through the characteristics of God. And when we say God is omnipresent, we need to recognize so is the Holy Spirit. In fact, God's presence everywhere is through the Holy Spirit. Psalm 139:7, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Again, like Krista shared at the beginning, it's not that Holy Spirit isn't here. He is. We can't get away from the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we can definitely, again, relegate him to a corner. Holy Spirit is omniscient. He knows all things just like the Father. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit of God, knows all things. He knows the good, the bad. He knows where you dropped your keys and lost your keys. He knows where you put your wallet and can't find it, or how about your phone?
Yeah.
If you don't have Find Your Phone on your other devices. He knows. He knows the little hurts and the great joys. He knows your frustrations. He knows your heart. And he's also, whoops. I think this might be more that. He is omnipotent. Oh, wow, we know the Holy Spirit is powerful. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He's the dunamis power of God. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen?
Yeah.
We know that about him. Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere, always. He is omniscient. He knows all things, and he is powerful. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, we know those things about Holy Spirit. We know about those things in some cases and not. But sometimes we know and then experienced it. Holy Spirit is a person, a being. He we could say he's like us. I mean, he's not created, remember that. That we were created in his image. In the image of God we were created. But he's not a what? He's not an it. He is not an object. And he is not a force. He is not just an idea. The Holy Spirit is a person, is a being. Just like Jesus is a being, just like the Father is a being. And again, I know this may feel very elementary to some, but we need to keep reminding ourselves, we need to keep that foundation strong, steady. Now, as a being, Holy Spirit has a mind. Now, you'll see here, or sometimes I say the Holy Spirit, and other times I just say Holy Spirit. When I talk to him, I say Holy Spirit. I don't say, oh, the Holy Spirit. It's just like if you're talking to friends and you say, oh, tomorrow I have an appointment with the doctor. And then when you get there, you say doctor. It's just English language. But when I talk to him, he has a name. His name is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The Spirit has a mind. In 1 Corinthians 12, we've already read this. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In Romans 8:27, it says, he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The mind of the Spirit. So we know he has a mind. Now I love, though this isn't about the mind, but let's look at, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Just chew on that for a minute. Or he has compassion, he cares, and look at, he intercedes on behalf of us, he intervenes on behalf of us, he has this heart for us, for God's people, and when he prays, it's in accordance with God's will. How much effort did you put into that? Phew, yay. I was worried I was going to have to do more to get the will of God to happen in my life. And the Spirit of God is interceding for the people of God according to God's will. This Holy Spirit himself on our behalf. Now the Holy Spirit, has a will. Did I go backwards? No, has a will, pardon me. And all these are the works of one and the same. He distributes them to each one as he determines. And we think, well, you know, Holy Spirit is kind of at the whim of the Father. And Jesus is at the... Is Jesus at the whim of the Father? No, neither is the Holy Spirit. However, they are in unity in thought and deed. They are unity. They're in unity with one another. The Father... And this, I was saying, honestly, I can't remember exactly how, but they're in unity. Just like Jesus has free will, but the Spirit isn't at the whim of the Father, but they're in unity in thinking. So he follows what the Father says, but he doesn't disagree with him, or he isn't forced into that. He has free will, if I could put it just like we would have free will, because God has free will, right? But they're not in disagreement. They're not, does that make sense? Am I making sense there, what I'm saying? They are so in sync. They are so in unity. and purpose and one accord. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry, Keitha. All of these works are the works of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes, them to each one as he determines, again, speaking of his will. Let's move on. In Galatians 5, 22 to 23, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And some of these we got to look at kind of come from a will, if I can put it that way. Patience. How many have to choose patience? How many of you know that as we lean into the Spirit, choosing the Spirit, being in his presence, patience is just something that starts flowing out of us as a fruit. How about kindness? How about goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? And so we recognize that of the fruit of the Spirit is the same will of the Spirit. The Spirit has, Holy Spirit has emotions. That's maybe, we'll see that. And again, coming back to the fruit of the Spirit, we could look at love, joy, and peace are more of an emotion, we could say, right? Now, we know that not all of them are connected. You don't have to always feel fabulously in love and to love somebody. But let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. He does. Just like the Father and the Son are head over heels and want to lavish love on us, so does he. He has emotions. There's also, from Isaiah 63 here, yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. And talking about the children of Israel, the Holy Spirit grieves. And we think about that when we are, or when they were walking in ways that weren't bringing life. That grieved him. Romans, and this is from the Amplified Version, because we've already read part of Romans 8:6-7. Sorry about the extra 26 in there. 8:26-27. In the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. I'll just stop for a minute. How many have come to the Lord in prayer and said, I don't even know what to pray. I don't know how I should pray. What, you know, we are just kind of in a, you know, Lord, I've been coming before you and interceding. I've been talking to you. And you just don't know what to do. And then listen what it says here. He helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray to offer or how to offer. We don't know what to pray, what prayer to offer. Oh, my goodness, Shannon. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. But the Spirit himself knows our needs and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit is what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people, which we've already said, in accordance with his will. Take a deep breath and say, thank you, Holy Spirit. When I can't get it, when I'm frustrated, when I just don't know, here you are, interceding on my behalf. With groans I don't even know. Praise God. Well, next, the Holy Spirit communicates with believers. Oops, did I get ahead of myself here? In Acts, yeah, I think I did, sorry. In Acts 29, here's Philip, he's walking along, and the Spirit says to Philip, go to that chariot and stay nearby. The Spirit speaks to him. And we know that as he goes and he's walking along, well, you know what? The scripture is there. I'm going to get you to go look it up. Look at the story yourself. Okay. What about 1 John 4:1? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit talked to Jesus. Anybody doubt that? And that same Spirit, he says, I want you to have. John 14, we've already read this, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. When we're reading the Word, we can listen to the latest and greatest scripture or teacher or prophet or whatever, but the Holy Spirit said he'll teach you. And don't get me wrong, the Lord uses the body. He provides, he said he provides apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, right? Teachers is a part of that. But the Holy Spirit will teach you some things. All things. All things. And remind you of everything I have said to you. How about in Damascus? A man named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision and said, Ananias! There's more to that story. Go read it. Acts 10:19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. If you don't know the story, you've got the address. Go look at it. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, show you, and talk to you. He wants to communicate with us, the believer. He will talk to us in dreams and visions. He will talk to us through the Word of God. He will just sit and have a conversation that your spirit hears and you can perceive with your mind. And you say, oh, I don't know if I ever hear the Holy Spirit. I don't think I hear the Holy Spirit. You do. If you're a believer, you do. But I'll tell you what, the enemy wants to keep you in fear. Keep you believing and doubting. How many have heard of What-If-I? How about Spotify? How about Wi-Fi? Well, Spotify and Wi-Fi are kind of those things you kind of tune into, but a lot of us are tuned into What-If-I. What if I? What if I hear something or and I do it and it's not the Holy Spirit and I make a mistake or I do it wrong or it's my own thoughts, I'll tell you what's going to happen. God is going to be so angry, he's going to strike you with a bolt of lightning. That's the lie of the enemy. You're going to screw it up so bad God can't even talk to you. It's the enemy's lies, and he loves it when you tune into What If I, because it paralyzes you. Now, let's say you decide, I'm going to trust that I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, even though all these emotions are going on, that I'm going to trust that I hear the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to trust he's leading me. And I'm going to step out. And let's say you do that and you're a little off track. What if God had mercy and grace? What? What?
He does.
He does. Oh, but only for other people, not for me. That's a lie. What if the Holy Spirit could direct your steps? It's not. He does. What if I change my what if I statement to what if God, and then recognize what his word says? Oops, sorry. I had another scripture there, but we'll get to that one in a minute. John 3:16, but the Spirit of truth comes and he will guide you into all truth. And that's John 16:13. If you want to write it down, you need to go. Who's going to guide you back onto the path? Do we need to be afraid he's going to guide you off into some weird thing? He's going to guide you to truth. And all we have to do is step out, trusting Holy Spirit in me. If I get it a little off or a little wrong, or even if I'm completely backwards the other way, he can guide me back into truth. If my heart is, I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to keep trusting the Holy Spirit. Because some of us think it's impossible. But he's the God of possible in our impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Holy Spirit is greater than you. And he knows your heart. He searches your heart. He intercedes on your behalf. Now, I've got up there, Holy Spirit indwells the believer. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are no longer your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, where do we hear about the temple? In Jerusalem. And before that, there was a tabernacle. And God dwelled in those places. But since Jesus, I got to go back to the Father, because you guys just wait. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to go to Jerusalem to the temple, and you don't have to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. He's going to indwell you. Do you not know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? I'm telling you what, he says, you're not your own. You were bought at a price. Hey, the mortgage has been paid for on this temple. And it belongs to God, and it belongs to the Holy Spirit who's in residence. I can't evict him. It's his. I can ignore him, but I can't evict him. And you know, when we come together and we worship and we get lost in just praising our God and King, and we recognize, like Krista said, we know God is here. We know Holy Spirit is here, but he dwells here. And sometimes, you know, we think, well, I have to go to the next best thing to get the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hello? That's not what the word says. He dwells in you. But we got to stop treating him like the cousin four times removed, and neglecting him. It's sort of like, have any of you ever ridden along in a car with somebody who's on their phone? You're driving along and they're on their phone. How much connection and communication is playing a game, checking on the last thing on YouTube, what's the TikTok video? Huh? What? Oh, hi. Yeah. Okay. No. Holy Spirit's driving. You're sitting in the passenger seat, absorbed in all the things of life, troubles and worries and concern and the latest thing and when's war and is Jesus coming back and is this the book of Revelation and boy, we should. Oh my goodness, I forgot to take the laundry out of the washer and put it in the dryer. What time is it? Oh, good. What am I making for supper? I have dishes. So I can't believe. You know what I'm talking about, right? And we're sitting there, and I can't wait to get back to church on Sunday because the presence of the Lord is there. Can't wait to get to the prayer meeting because the presence of the Lord is there. Hello. It's Holy Spirit knocking on your door, saying, I'm right here. You can have my presence and my power and my influence anytime because you are the temple that I dwell in. And Jesus said the most amazing thing, he will never leave you or forsake you. Holy Spirit will indwell you always. You screw up, you walk away from God, Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. Did you know that? Until the day you pass away, he is there in you trying to draw you back. But even if you've relegated him back into a corner, he's still there. See, we get all full of all kinds of ideas about the Holy Spirit, who he is in our life. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I love that song. But it doesn't mean he's not here. Those of you who are married or have roommates or whatever, know what it's like to live in a house and never talk to each other just because you're busy. And all of a sudden you hear the call. Hey, come here. Come on, let's sit down. Let's have a talk. Let's have coffee together. That voice that calls. You're there present with each other, but until you stop and call and sit and talk. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. He desires to have fellowship with you as a believer. Not just a relegated Holy Spirit cousin in the corner. I know about the Holy Spirit. He says, no, come and get to know me. Come and sit with me and talk with me. 2 Corinthians 13, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, I'm going to put the Father in, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship, he wants to commune with us. He wants to partner. He wants partnership with us. He wants to be your comrade, your friend. He wants to have intimacy with you. And just like you would not refuse to spend time with Jesus, if he walked in here and in the flesh and you wouldn't refuse. You just say, oh, how many of you would probably come running to the front and sit closer or scoot your chair forth? We come. And Jesus said, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And he's just like Jesus in that. He wants to commune with us, partner with us. He wants to walk with you. And when we have wonderful moments where we feel that tangible presence, that's something it doesn't have to leave when you walk out the building or leave the meeting or whatever. That's with you. He's with you. He wants you to take him with you. Because you're there, he wants you to be aware of his presence always. How many of you, I'm sure there's many of you saints who've heard the book, you're practicing the presence of God. Whether you're washing the dishes, repairing the car, walking down the street, walking your dog, or cleaning up its poop after it. Whether you're sitting down and engaging in a devotional or just admiring his creation. To practice the presence means to make yourself aware. You see, God is omnipresent. His spirit is everywhere. But the manifest presence comes when he sees us, when we see him, that's when the manifest presence comes. Because he's already there. He's already dwelling in us. And when we sit and stop, we don't have to sit. When we just calm our mind from all the, and remember, Holy Spirit, you're right here with me. Wow. Presence of Holy Spirit right here with me. The manifest presence of God starts filling us. Amen? As I said, I can go on and on, but we're gonna wrap it up here for today. But remember, if I can get there. Remember, Holy Spirit wants to be in fellowship with you. He already indwells you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to share with you. Let's just trust. When we don't think we hear, let's trust. And when we're all fluttered and I don't know what to, just say, I'm going to lay it at your feet. Let you have it. Could you intercede for me? And I know I'm going to trust and step out. And if I don't get it right, I'm going to trust, Holy Spirit, you'll just guide me back. Does that make you take a deep breath and sigh, a good sigh of relief? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand? You've been sitting for a while. Holy Spirit, we have already said you're welcome here. You're welcome within us. We welcome you and acknowledge your presence in our lives. We acknowledge your goodness, your love, and we desire fellowship with you. And so, Lord, as we walk out of this place, we know we take you with us. And we just invite you to be a part of every part of our lives. In the small, mundane, normal things and in the grand, wonderful things. In our struggles and our fears and in our great hopes and desires. Thank you. You are always with us. And now I bless everyone here. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence goes with them. And I pray that they go out with a jump in their step, right, Rod? A jump in their step, leaping and frolicking like lambs and calves, rejoicing in you. We give you glory, honor, and praise in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and in you, Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.